This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 455. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Mr. Nick Mayo.
Woo woo!
Nick to the first power. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3. I know you know this, but we stream this live on the internet at koop.org. Do not go away. We'll be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, March 7th, 2017. On the show today, we have our friends, our next door neighbors at the City Theater, talking about their show, Noises Off. And of course, we'll have lively views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, London, Chicago, and Waco. Don't go away.
The kind of September.
Yep, it's true. It's Waco.
I love the word Waco.
It's wacko.
It's such a fun word. My grandparents are there, and I always say, Waco. It's such
Waco.
A fun word to say.
Well, I have an interesting New York story about Waco.
What?
So I moved to New York, and I went from, I was leaving on June 21st, 1977. I don't know what day of the week that was. Mm-hmm. But 2 days before that, I was in Waco with my parents, and I took a train from Waco to Houston and then got in a car and drove to New York.
So Waco was one of the last pieces of Texas you saw.
Frightening. But I do have a story. It was a train with a dining car and everything. I have beautiful stories about that, which we won't get into. But Nick Mayo, hello.
Hello, Lisa Sheps. How are you?
We are missing Nicole Shiro. She's having tragedies with fences falling down. And hey, I have a great title for a play.
Huh.
Fences.
Oh, Lisa, you should write that.
I'm going to write that.
That'll never work.
She's got fences falling down. She's got her poor puppy dogs are having problems. She's having a rough day. So shout out to Nicole Shiro. We're thinking of you. I usually say you. We're thinking of you, darling.
Yeah, and Nicole, you've got all the tools in your tool belt to navigate these hard situations. Put on a show tune, smile, share your joy with the world, and we're thinking of you.
Absolutely. So what is new with you, Nick Mayo?
Oh, my goodness. Yesterday was an exciting morning for the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards.
Yes. Were you there at 7 o'clock in the morning or at 4 o'clock in the morning, which I'm told your call was?
My call was at 5 o'clock in the morning, okay. But I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning to greet joyous, wonderful, excited high schoolers who are being honored for their wonderful work this year. So it was a great morning. So that was fun. And today I'm just a little sleepy from it.
So I don't know if I am able to say anything because... you're not allowed to tell people what you're doing, but
you have an involvement.
I'm an involvement, and of the best, the nominations for best, none of the shows I saw were there.
Oh, really?
Well, that gives you an idea.
Well, I think that speaking from what I hear, the judges, it's been a really great year for high school musicals and for productions here in Austin. So it was a really nice morning and great energy.
Yeah, I heard it was good. I had a meeting with Mr. Adam Roberts.
He's a lovely man.
He is a lovely man. He reminded me yesterday that he doesn't get to co-host with me very often anymore because I have two of yous.
Yeah. Well, he should come on.
Well, I almost called him today, but I didn't. But shout out to Adam Roberts. We love him. I would like to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar with live Irish music.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's old and Éireann go bra.
You know what it was, Lisa? It was charming.
It was charming. I loved it. It's just like an old Irish classroom.
The worst.
I love it. Oh, it's good.
We're the worst.
Oh, no, excellent. And also thank you to everybody for our membership drive. Thank you to Nick Mayo, Nicole Shiro, and Lisa Sheps. All three of the hosts of Offstage on the Air are supporters of the radio station, but also big thanks to everybody that supported, and a congratulations goes out to Carolee Biddle, who won the Finishing the Hat book.
Bien, bien, Julations.
Si, como no. Let's... Let's introduce the folks that are joining us here today. We have a small crew for our show.
You know what? It's actually quite refreshing.
It's nice.
It's really lovely.
It's nice. We have Robin Conran. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
I totally wish the webcam was working.
No, I don't.
And Darren Sharp, how are you?
I'm great.
Good. Get that microphone close to you here, right, Darren. That'd be great. Okay, so let's get on with what we were going to talk about. So we heard Try to Remember at the very top, and that is in honor of the dead. He lived... he was old. He was in his 80s, I think.
Very good life.
Harvey Schmidt, who is best known for working with his partner Tom Jones and the show The Fantastic, which was written right here in Austin, Texas, at the University of Texas. They were schoolmates at the University of Texas.
Isn't that nice?
So he died at 88. And guess where he was when he died? What city? He was in Tomball. I'm just going to say it.
I don't. How, wow. I would have never guessed that.
Tomball.
I know that's what. That. Tomball, Texas.
Waco.
You see, Waco. But he, they did many shows together, and they. It was all happenstance. He was not a theater. He was an artist. He was. He drew cartoons and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the original Fantastics that Tom Jones was working on, he was working with somebody else. I'm trying to come up with the name of him, but that didn't work out, and he ended up going with
Tom Jones.
He ended up going with Harvey Schmidt.
Oh, with Harvey Schmidt.
Tom Jones went with Harvey Schmidt.
Oh, interesting.
And did you know I did not? So he was originally going to work with John Donald Robb, who I don't know. Who,
old John Donnie.
John Donnie Robb.
John Donnie Robb.
Oh, John Donnie Robb.
Oh, John Donnie Robb.
And guess what the original title of the Fantastics?
Under Amusing.
Joy Comes to Dead Horse.
I'm glad they went with the Fantastics.
That's a joke.
Somebody tells me it wouldn't have run this long.
All right, so here's a quiz. How long did it take Tom Schmidt to write Try to Remember, that song we heard coming in?
I can't remember.
Try to remember.
Sorry.
Anybody?
No.
No? Okay. By the way, nods and non-vocal answers don't really work on radio.
Is it Harvey Schmidt? Is it a trick question?
No. 5 minutes.
Oh.
He sat down and wrote it in 5 minutes.
But the hard thing was, is after he had written it, he's just going to remember it. He got to spend the rest of his life trying
to.
It's such a beautiful, simple song.
It really is.
It's such a beautiful song, and every young baritone has it in their audition book at sometimes until they tell them not to sing it anymore.
Please stop singing,
singing that song. But also, it's important because we talk about all different aspects of the process. This show kept so many people employed for so long. Stagehands, stage managers, producers, box office staff, actors. I mean, this is it's a piece of work for 5 minutes. For that song, yep. That kept the show alive for a long time,
and it was not well received. It was it got poor notices, but the producers decided to keep trudging through, and thank God they did. I think it still holds the longest. Well, that's
Perfect Crime is the longest play.
No, you know what? It's contentious because they closed and then they opened again, and then they tacked on that. So it's a little contentious.
It's a record breaking show. Let's just say it.
It is, and it's beautiful. And who here has done it?
I have not.
No? Negative. Really? Most people have. I've done it 3 times.
I've sung that song 150 times.
I did it in Espanol.
Oh, sí.
At the same time, Zulu Que de Cristal.
Which is also known as...
Siempre en un recuerdo. El tiempo para gastarles. I just made that last part up.
I know you did, but it was really well done.
Siempre recuerdo. Always remember.
Oh, sí. Yeah.
Pronto va llover, yo me viro. Pronto va llover, yo no sé. Quanto va llover,
I don't know from my room.
This is good.
I just made that up.
Love
it was totally gibberish. I was just trying to read.
Mine was real.
Mine was trying to just read your lips while you were doing it.
So, yeah.
That was impressive.
Fantastic.
That was.
It was. I am impressed.
On that one.
But he will be missed. They did many off-Broadway shows. And they also did I Do on Broadway, and they did 110 in the Shade on Broadway, all nominated for Tonys. None of them won.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, a great loss, but a great contribution.
Oui.
Si.
Si, como no. Another little piece of unfortunate news. Did you hear about Ruthie Ann Miles?
I did.
Kid?
I did.
And her friend, who unfortunately I don't have her name. Ruthie Ann Miles and a friend of hers were crossing the street in New York City, and a woman who had a medical problem, and or so she says, ran them down, killed both of their infant children, and put Ruthie Ann Miles in the hospital under critical condition, but she's supposed to be okay. Mm. But I mean, I would venture to guess that she would never be okay.
As of this morning, she is no longer in critical condition right. for her health, and the health of her unborn child is also something that is no longer in critical condition. I know we say this 100 times, and I know this is not the most enjoyable subject to spend, but the way the Broadway community continues to rally around those who suffer loss, in this way, devastating loss, unimaginable loss, the Broadway community's best qualities come out
yep.
In this. So I've been very moved by the community's support for her and continued support for her. It's real right. beautiful.
So there was the Indiegogo campaign was put out to raise money for her hospital bills. It was all really done. So
hearts with her and her family.
Yep. Likewise. So on a much lighter note,
from one pole to the
totally
next,
totally different. But and I apologize for the quickness of it. But did you see this? It has to be untrue.
It is true.
It can't be true.
It's true.
How is it true?
Why? I don't like it.
So nobody likes it. So I don't think it's true. It was just one news source. Well, we may as well say it was. Ariana Grande to play in Wicked as Elphaba.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. sorry. No.
Yeah.
My hope is that it's not true, and it's an early April Fool's.
Well, it doesn't make sense. There is no reason in the world for Wicked to do this. They don't need to do stunt casting, as to quote one of my people that I listen to on podcasts. The stunt casting is just crazy.
I'm hoping it's not true.
Yeah, doesn't. I'm going to say it's not true.
And also, she's teeny tiny.
She's teeny tiny. She's cute. I like
her. She's
really
cute. I do like her. I just don't like her for that role.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And if she were going to play a role, I wouldn't. If I were to choose her for one of the two, it wouldn't be Elphaba.
No. No, I wouldn't either.
It would be Galinda.
Or one.
Not even that. Maybe one of the monkeys.
One of the monkeys.
I was just about to say.
Maybe the monkey who has the line.
Yeah. the lined monkey, we call it.
The lined monkey.
Well, we had two openings that I want to talk about. Well, sort of openings. One is Amy and the Orphans. Did you hear about this?
I didn't.
Okay, so Amy and the Orphans is a play by Lindsay Ferrantino, and it sort of tells her she's dealing with some personal skeletons in her closet around a family member who had Down syndrome and their parents.
Oh, yes.
Their parents institutionalized this child. Mm-hmm. So this is the story based on that, and it stars Jamie Brewer.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I believe, actor off Broadway who does have Down syndrome mm-hmm. and is playing someone with Down syndrome. And that was one of the things that the playwright, thankfully, insisted upon.
Yes.
That somebody with Down syndrome. And people will know Jamie Brewer from
American Horror Story,
among
She's
others.
She's so talented.
And also Glee. Wasn't she the same?
She was
in Glee
She's
as well.
She's so talented.
Very, very talented.
And funny.
Yeah. Yes.
Funny.
Absolutely.
Great comedic timing.
Also stars Mark Blum, who I've been seeing a lot on television lately, and Deborah Monk. And it tells a story of these three siblings that get together after their father had died. The mother had died 6 months previous, but they hadn't told Amy, who is played by Jamie Brewer, and they go and they tell the child, and then take a road trip to bury their father and empty out the house. And it just gets sort of a family, dysfunctional family thing. Mm-hmm. Mixed reviews, mixed to negative reviews, I'd say.
On performances or material?
Material.
Or both?
Material. Well, the material that they said there wasn't enough for Mark Blum and Deborah Monk to do. This is playing at the Laura Pels Theater. Let me see. I had something. This, by the way, was directed by Scott Ellis as in a roundabout production. there was something I thought I had here about the.
It's so interesting, Lisa, that you know how this happens is you get to know and love theater companies and you get to know new work. This just reeks of something that I could see the ground floor theater doing.
Yes, absolutely.
It has all the qualities that theater does so beautifully. So that's amazing. Yep. That's an exciting thing.
So it's interesting. So she has, I don't want to say he's an understudy because he goes on quite a bit. But she's doubled by a young actor named Edward Barbanel, and they changed the title to Andy and the Orphans when that happens.
So interesting.
He also has Down syndrome. So I think it's really cool. I want to sort of take a quick tangent here. First of all, anybody have any comments about nothing? Got nothing.
Okay. Smiles.
How does other people feel about this? This is sort of going into television, but I have discovered to my chagrin that the gentleman that plays the overweight husband in This Is Us
is not overweight.
He wears a fat suit. Mm-hmm. And then another show I really like is, I even forgot the name of it. It's about the big box store. With
is it Superstore?
Yeah,
something like
Superstore.
That. Right.
There's a character in a wheelchair who is not a wheelchair bound actor, and I cannot help but think they could have found both a overweight actor and a actor confined into a wheelchair for those roles. So I'm sort of pissed off. Anybody?
I'm with you.
Nobody else is. I think it's just us.
The guy on Glee wasn't in a wheelchair either.
That I know, but the story oftentimes showed him dreaming outside of his wheelchair,
right.
Which
but
I
it
understand.
Was. But I didn't. I mean, for years I had no idea until they started that line.
I'm with you. No, first off, I just agree with that. And I also know and love so many actors of different abilities and of different sizes and shapes and colors and sexual fluidity. And I think that it requires more work, and therefore people choose not to work. I do believe we are in a culture where this will no longer be acceptable.
Right. To me, there's really no excuse for it. Even though both of those were, cast a few years prior, but
and that isn't saying that as we all continue to develop our craft. I mean, I've been in shows in an educational environment where I've thrown on for a farce a giant fat suit. But it was for in an educational program to explore a certain type of theater. I just think that I agree with you. I do not like it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I think I agree too. I don't know why. I don't watch This Is Us, but is his character.
What?
I'm sorry.
I don't either. My mother's furious.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore, Darren.
Me either.
Well, look, you
for
boys.
You, I'm always willing to expand my horizons. But is the character about his character about being overweight? Is it address that? Because that I would say is definitely different and needs representation as opposed to like Gary Oldman, who just won an Oscar and he was wearing a fat suit to play a different character. But it's a different thing.
That's a very good point that you bring that up. Gary Oldman, who was so wonderful, that was that body shape of Winston Churchill is so specific.
Had to be. You had to be that person. Well, and I find it interesting with This Is Us. I'm sorry.
Go.
This is about you.
But the guy that plays Randall is always talking about how great it is that that part was written for an African-American. It wasn't let's put an African-American in this role.
Right.
It was written for him. But then to turn around and have it was okay for the woman to be overweight and her battling that in real, but not the man. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of, it bothered me when I found out that he wasn't.
I was crestfallen.
I was too.
And it wasn't all that long ago that somebody told me he wears a fat suit. And then I decided to Google the actor that plays the character in Superstore and just see, and there's plenty of pictures
of
him. I'm
glad you brought that to our attention because I wasn't aware of that, and it's a good conversation to have, and it's a good for us who work in the theater. It becomes our responsibility to be a little more diligent in our searches. Good talk. I like that.
All right, so the other thing is, did you read the review of Taylor Trench's performance. And so this is, I am so thrilled about this because I saw Dear Evan Hansen. Did you see it with?
I saw readings of it. I haven't seen it.
So when I saw it, Ben
Platt.
Thank you. I was going Benj Pathak. Totally skipped over the Oscars. We can get there. But anyway, Ben Platt is so specific in his. Has anybody else seen it?
No.
He's so specific in his characterization of a young boy who has issues, unnamed issues. So to me, he was sort of doing a somebody on the spectrum. But it was very specific and very broad, but good. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from his performance. But when I left there going, I cannot wait to see how somebody else tackles this role, mm-hmm. because they do not have to do anything that Ben Platt did. And indeed, it seems like Taylor Trench found a whole different way to approach this role. It's a much more... controlled. He's much more in control, mm-hmm. Which leads which is great. So it makes the way Ben Platt was playing the role. He sort of couldn't help but make all the mistakes he made. Mm-hmm. And the way Taylor Trench is playing it, he's sort of making some conscious decisions.
Interesting.
Which puts a whole different spin on the show. If you know anything about it. Also, what I like about Jesse Green. Well, it's a Jesse Green article I really, really like.
There's been a couple of those recently.
Mm-hmm. He said, I'm warming to him.
I know.
He said what it does was when Ben Platt was doing it, it was all about that character. Mm-hmm. And this evens out it really shines much more of a light on the two mothers and the sister. So I just think it's... I was just so happy to read this review.
I love that. And you know what? When you said that you saw a piece and you said, oh, I just can't wait to see someone else do it, that's a testament to the creators of the piece and the role itself and the actor. It's an exciting thing. Most people, you know, when you hear, oh, I can't wait to see someone else do it, that means something negative about the person who did it, but it's quite the opposite.
Right. And I have to say, I was right from the very beginning. Everybody was saying that it wasn't going to last after Ben Platt left. And I never thought of it as a star turn for Ben Platt. It really showcased him as an actor, but I thought the piece really spoke for itself.
And I don't think he thinks of it as a star turn for himself either.
I agree.
He thinks of it as a service to the piece as a whole, and the piece stands alone.
I agree. So, Ben, I know you listen to this show. Congratulations for all the work you did. And Taylor Trench, who I'm hoping you're starting to listen to the show.
He
congratulations.
Will, once he gets like through the first week of rehearsals.
Long
of
run.
Shows, yeah.
Okay, very quickly. Oscars. Did you see Oscars? Anybody?
No.
Yeah, Robin's sort of nodding.
Yes, I did. I watched the Oscars.
So we had several Broadway-type people that won. Among them, Allison Janney,
and there was a wonderful performance by Kiala Settle.
Shit, I was working that night, and I came back right at that. It was a beautiful performance, and I was in tears. And I wasn't watching her. I was watching the people around her.
So Broadway was represented in such a huge way at the Oscars with Allison Janney, Frances McDormand, Gary Oldman. All the theater was, no surprise, celebrated at the Oscars. I really loved it.
Right. And Robert Lopez won for, Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez won for Frozen against Benj Pathak and...
Paul.
Yeah, what's Paul's first name?
Mister.
Mr. Paul. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Paul. They listen to the show, too. But you know what? This makes... Robert Lopez is the very first person to have double EGOT. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how they say that? EGOT, EGOT?
EGOT, EGOT. EGOT. He's on his way to triple EGOT. EGOT, EGOT, EGOT. EGOT.
At that point, you'd have to say EGOT cubed. Like,
yes.
This is a little too much.
Isn't that amazing?
It is really... really cool.
What's unfortunate, I don't think he's a household. I don't think they are household names.
You know what? The humility of those two creators, it doesn't surprise me that they're not household names because their work stands alone and they're just talented, talented, good people.
Absolutely. We're running out of time, so I just want to leave with folks that can go onto the website and see things that we want to talk. Rise, which is a TV series about a struggling theater group. And Robin, you're a theater teacher, so
yes,
you must
I am.
Be very excited about this show coming up.
I am excited about it. It's like a fame for this generation.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm really looking forward to seeing it. But they have high school grants, and Nicole sent this over to me, and they gave away $10,000 grants to 50 high schools around the country in their theater courses or their theater programs.
Bravo.
And so there's a whole article on that. You can go and look at it at offstageonair.com. But I did want to take a moment to tell the Texas high schools that did receive this grant. The Alice High School in Alice, Texas.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know where that is, but
right
I want to live in Alice, Texas.
Right outside of McAllen.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's teeny tiny.
It's a teeny.
Yeah.
Jack Yates High School in Houston. And the Far San Juan Alamo North Early College High School in Far, Texas.
Hey, Bravo Oak Theaters.
Guess where Far is?
It's not near.
No. Thank you. Thank you for getting that.
It is not near. Hey, Lisa, can I throw one? I wanted to send this to you. There's, yeah. Just speaking of Jesse Green, Jesse Green on February 26th wrote an amazing article in the New York Times that's called A Brief History of Gay Theater in Three Acts.
Oh my God, I missed that.
So I'm going to put it on your radar, okay. But I also want to put it on our listeners' radar. It's talking about the fact that what are we saying in our times right now that Torch Song Trilogy, Boys in the Band, and Angels in America are all back at the same time. So Jesse Green writes a beautiful article where he interviews and talks to a lot of the creators, directors, and producers involved with those three pieces of theater.
Awesome. All three of those are very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. And there it is. So I'll try to get a link up on our site for that as well. There's going to be some other things on our site that you're going to see. There's a great article about being an usher. And how you do it. It's not easy to do.
No.
So anyway, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear some more stuff from Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones. This is from a show called Roadside.
Hmm.
Have you heard of it?
I haven't.
Okay. And it's just so much fun. Mary Martin and Robert Preston. I just did 76 Trombones.
The Robert Preston arm flap is very similar to Chicken Dance.
It is. Anyway, this is a song called Smell-em-a-Goody Perfume.
Ooh. Mm.
I'm gonna splash myself most everywhere with Smell-em-a-Goody Perfume.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nick Mayo. Sending our heartfelt thanks or feelings out to Nicole Shiro, her pups, and her fence. You know, which, by the way, was my sorority name in high school.
Pups and Fence? That's so funny. Mine was Kitties and Walls.
I love that. I went to school with somebody named Kitties and Walls.
Kitties and Walls.
So we have also been talking to Darren Scharf and Robin Connoran, and I'm going to reintroduce them now in their official capacity as spokespeople for City Theater's production of Noises Off. Robin Connoran, welcome.
Hello.
And Darren Scharf, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
All right, this Noises Off thing. So I saw the original.
You did.
Oh,
did.
Wow.
Oh,
did,
jealous.
Did. You should be. It was awesome.
I bet.
So tell folks that don't know what this show's about. What's the show about?
It's a show within a show.
Mm-hmm.
And act one is final dress rehearsal. Act two is what about... 3 weeks later.
Act two is also
it's
act
also
one,
from the backstage,
yeah.
Isn't it?
But
yeah.
Behind
but
from,
it's the behind the scenes of what's stage. Going on. And then act three is the last show and everything has just gone down the tubes.
So it's
the same act over the same act of the show within a show over and over again.
Shown from three different points of view.
Right.
Yeah. That's lovely. Before we go further, we're gonna take a little tangent here. Robin, I asked you to choose a number between 2 and 52. Do you remember what that was?
7.
7. Let's hear what that is.
Hello there. This is John O'Hurley. Jay Peterman. You're listening to Lisa and Nicole offstage and on the air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
And Nick.
John Peterman.
John Peterman.
Hello.
Johnny O'Hurley. O'Hurley ho. Okay.
So three different acts from three different perspectives.
Yeah. The same act done three different ways.
Who wrote this play?
Michael Frayn.
There you go. Mm.
And excellent. And so you play the aging star.
Yes.
Correct, Robin?
Yes.
And Darren, you play the young star.
No, I'm the director of the play.
Oh, you're the director.
The
That's right.
Yes.
So yeah, and it's that whole conflict of the aging star and the up and coming stars and the backstage drama that goes on pretty much.
There's no backstage drama during the show.
Never.
Here's what I love about this piece is that audiences who are theater people have a very wonderful experience relating to the characters in the process, and those who aren't theater goers or theater performers or artists themselves have such a fun time getting a different perspective than what they're accustomed to. I think it's fun.
And it's funny when you the people that don't know the show and he starts talking from the audience and they're stunned. They don't understand what's happening and why are we messing up, and they freak out sometimes.
Because that fourth wall is broken about 15 minutes into the show. Oh,
easily. Yeah.
So you think you're there for just a little light drawing room comedy, and then this happens.
Right.
All of a sudden you're in the show too.
You're in the show. So this show is a testament to timing. This is directed by Kevin Smith, and we should say mazel tov to Kevin Smith, who is a first-time father.
Yes.
As of I think 3 hours ago.
Right.
So cool. Congratulations. I did not know he wasn't going to be here, but when I saw that he was having a baby, I was hoping he wouldn't be here. Right. So congratulations goes out to them. But it is the show is a testament to timing, and the director plays the director in real life and the director in the show, and the show within the show plays a huge role. Can you talk about the rehearsal process and some of the things that y'all went through bringing the show together?
I mean, it's such a and also to mention, and congratulations, Kevin. I mean, I think he could have waited a couple hours till after the show.
But yeah, well, for
he's
God's
not
sakes,
that great on timing.
Yeah, I didn't say I was happy about it.
But I know, but he played this role. He played the role of Lloyd, the director of the show, a bunch of years ago, and now is directing the show, in which he played the director. Which I'm playing.
So
the
guess
same
what
character.
You get to do in a couple of years.
Exactly, it's an endless cycle, just like all theater, but. It's such a crazy life imitating art, because I mean, you know, the actors are constantly messing up and forgetting props and forgetting lines or remembering them wrong. And so in the rehearsal process, I mean, in the same way, but it's hilarious because we're remembering to forget it the right way, or forgetting to, you know, remember it wrongly.
Or say the line the wrong way, the right way in the script.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah,
my character does that all the time. She says one thing and does another thing. One thing that helped the rehearsal process was our set designer, Khaki, we got to rehearse with all the doors. There's eight doors.
Now,
is it a double?
It's typically a two-story set.
Sort of a landing
in city theater. That could be a little difficult.
Yeah, we have a little bit of a.
Yeah, we don't have a little landing space. So it's doors.
Like a little landing area.
That's the technical term.
There's way more doors than there are walls.
Yeah, but being able to have that, it would have been awful. And so kudos to her. Because we were able to work both sides
of
the stage.
And you have to be able to slam those doors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
and
they
it
need to
totally
be sturdy.
Moves around. Yeah. And it's a feat in and of itself.
So the play takes place in Great Britain. Are y'all doing it in Great Britain? Are you doing it with accents?
Some
so
of
do we say
are.
Beginners or do we well, say places? I guess that's the real question.
We say places and we say lights because we don't have a curtain at City Theater.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, it's all the same cities. It's set in Great Britain in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the actors are playing American actors with bad British accents go into their alternate personas. And some of us are,
and then because I'm from the both way. I'm from both. I play Dottie is British, and then Mrs. Clackett's more of a Cockney.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Yes, she's what a fun character, and what all there's so many fun characters in this piece.
Every night I laugh. I mean, we've been doing this for 2 months, and I still giggle.
Yeah. Same.
I still
Same
laugh.
With me. Everybody cracks me up.
And it's got to be a lot of fun to do the show, just in general.
Yes,
I would assume,
and you're losing weight. I've lost. Yeah, there's a lot of running and a lot
can
of.
Can I come in and sub in?
Yes.
Right. I know. Whose track can I cover?
Yeah, it's very, very necessary. And you guys have been selling out. You've had huge houses, haven't you?
Yes, mm-hmm. we have. It's had a great response. I think it's one of those plays that if you know it, you love it, and you want to see it. So people have. It's been people see it, and
that makes me really happy that you're doing so well with this, and that people are responding to this title. It gives me great hope and great feelings that people are coming out to see this piece.
Go ahead.
No, it's just a great piece.
Well, mm-hmm. And one would think, because currently on Broadway is the play that goes wrong, which is very similar.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'd say if we were closer to New York, you'd think it might get some carryover, but we aren't close to New York. Yeah. And I would venture to guess that most people that live here have never heard of A Play That Goes Wrong, mm-hmm. which is going to be here next season, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's Broadway hysterical. Across America. Yeah. Have you seen it?
Yes.
You saw it in New York?
I saw it in London.
Oh, nice.
And like it was...
Country dropper.
It was. I didn't mean country to be, but drop. No, but I remember thinking, watching it, like, how much it reminded me of Noises Off.
Yeah, just very similar.
Just the antics and the things messing up and everything.
that is so, so great. So you've only got one more week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys are doing so well. Is there any chance that this would be extended?
I don't think so, because I know there's another show coming up.
That's true. And we should actually, I meant to tease that because they're coming on the show. Andy always books late and I always mm-hmm. never have room for him until the show's about to close,
right.
which is happening again for the next show. And I totally can't remember what it is.
MAME.
It's MAME.
Yes. At City?
No.
No. We're lying.
Bad Jews.
It's the next show.
Bad Jews. Yes. absolutely. And that's, that was just on Broadway 2 seasons ago, mm-hmm. I believe. Mm-hmm. By the way, you might find this surprising, but that was my sorority name in college.
That is surprising to me. Fences and dogs. Fences and pups.
Actually, my sorority name would be Girl Scout Jew.
Girl Scout Jew.
Which is
a new cookie.
That is.
You can get Samoas or Girl Scout Jews.
We can. You can get, not only can you get one, but you can get Samoa.
set you up for that.
So where can folks go to get more information about... Noises Off.
citytheater.org.
citytheateraustin.org.
R-E, not E-R.
Correct. You don't have to tell that to our audience. We've trained them.
Fair enough.
And you're playing through next weekend.
And then four more shows, Thursday through Sunday. We do a matinee on Sunday.
Awesome. Well, hopefully you guys can stick around and join us backstage, and we can learn a little bit more about you and what you're up to next.
Awesome.
Love to.
We would love that. All right. That was Darren Scharf and Robin Conoran. And we'll just say Kevin Smith and his baby. Oh, is there a name for this child? We don't know.
It's a boy.
And the nameless child who identifies as a male.
Go with Lloyd.
Lloyd, yes.
Lloyd. They're at City Theater through March 11th. For more information, citytheateraustin.org. And this is just a really fun song from A Dog Story.
Let's make some noise.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, along with Nick Mayo.
Woo!
That's just going to be my thing. I can't not do it and with Nicole here. I just have to make some non-verbal.
I love it. Yeah. I'm all for it. We've been talking to Darren Scharf and Robin Conoran. Now we're going to... Woo! And now...
Well done.
Now you talk. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on locally. And it just dawned on me, I did not... Oh, darn it.
Darn it what?
I had a quiz that we were going to do.
Oh.
We might still do it.
Okay.
We still might do it. So at Hyde Park Theater, a show called Wakey Wakey.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a one-person show starring the incomparable... Ken Webster. Oh, evidently it's not a one-person show because Rebecca Robinson is in it as well. It's a Will Eno show, and it's gotten some good press. That's it. It's the other. So that's, it says, though the man telling jokes is sitting down, he is in a wheelchair. Dying is a stand-up routine in a Wakey Wakey. The funny, smart, glowing, dark, profoundly moving play by Will Eno. So that's happening at Hyde Park. And then I didn't print this out, and I keep seeing the posters, and I don't know anything about it, but it's called Landscape Mechanical. Ooh. Anybody know anything about it?
I don't.
Oh, darn it. I wish I'd printed it out. I tried to print it out, but I didn't. Anyway, Landscape Mechanical. Go to... Its posters are all over the city.
Nice.
So you can check it out there. Also, I would be remiss if I did not mention White Rabbit, Red Rabbit at Ground Floor Theater.
Wonderful.
Opens a week from tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun. They are going to be a guest on our show next week.
So Mouth Radio. I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's
mean
right.
To.
It's Mouth Radio. Does it say what theater it's
it
at?
It is. It's at. It's a new play by Sarah Locks, directed by Anne Mardor, featuring. It is.
It's at some wacky place that I've never.
Yes.
It's the wacky place.
At a used car lot somewhere in America. Yeah. A sad salesman tries to make a buck. There we go.
Story of my life.
Lyons Road, 3600 Lyons Road.
Right. So that's over near, oddly enough, Ground Floor Theater.
Which Ground Floor Theater's production of White Rabbit, Red Rabbit?
Is opening a week from Thursday. And also, I just want to take a moment to a shout out. We have so many great opportunities to see theater and musicals in our local colleges, at the University of Texas, at St. Ed's, at Southwestern, in Texas State, which is a nationally recognized musical theater program.
Sorry.
So I just want to remind us, and I'm basically saying this for myself along with others, that there's great theater to see at these schools. And Nick is directing a production of Violet at St. Ed's.
At St. Edward's, we open April 12th.
Yeah, Adam Roberts, the incomparable, is the musical director, or he's involved somehow.
Yes, he's our vocal coach with music director Peter Chopnitsky.
There you go.
That's a great team. But you're right. I'm so happy you're doing this to draw attention to the theater opportunities at our local colleges.
Right, and Texas State is not that far away. Southwestern, we don't hear enough about. Joey Banks contacted me the other day. He directs some stuff out there. So I'd just really like to throw it out there. It'd be a great thing for folks to support theaters that are being done in our colleges.
I could not agree
as
more.
An educator yourself, Robin, I'm sure you yes. will agree with me. Okay, so here's the quiz. Y'all ready for a quiz?
Ready.
All right. So this was in this was in Playbill today, and this is a quiz about where did these shows play out of town before coming to Broadway.
Oh, heck.
And I will say I took it this morning, and I got 50%.
I will probably not get 50%.
I did better than I thought I was going to do. Okay, you ready? So which are you okay, Robin?
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Don't apologize. Here we go. We are the allergy capital of the world. okay, which of these shows did not play Chicago before coming to Broadway? War Paint, SpongeBob SquarePants, Kinky Boots, or Hairspray? Anybody?
SpongeBob.
Nick?
Hairspray.
Yes. That is correct. Okay. Where did Frozen play before Broadway? Anybody know?
Denver.
Denver, very good. Okay.
That's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Why?
Cold.
It's cold.
Oh, got it. Got it. Okay. And then which of these shows this season did not come to Broadway via London? My Fair Lady, Angels in America.
My Fair Lady.
Yeah. Okay. See, you're doing much better than you thought. Which of these shows transferred from off-Broadway? Come From Away, Junk, The Band's Visit, or Meteor Shower? I got this one right.
Junk. Band's Visit.
The Band's Visit. I'm giving.
A Junky Band's Visit.
The Junky Band's Visit. Okay, we'll do one more. Where did the Book of Mormon play prior to its Broadway run? Anybody?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City?
That's funny, but no. Sure. What are the choices?
That's right. La Jolla Playhouse, Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle, or the Old Globe in San Diego?
Old Globe.
You would be wrong.
Oh, no.
It came directly to Broadway. Oh, I didn't give you that as a choice.
Hey, that's me.
That is me.
I was trying to find where it could have played.
But here, let me. I meant to have this set up and ready to go. That's the bad sound. You can't hear it. Not headphones. Anyway, let's just jump right to today in theater history.
Today in theater history.
Today in theater
history.
History. Yeah, we're going to need to stall because I don't have it here with me.
No, handy. It's all right. Today Got in it. Theater history, a lot of things happened, such as?
Such as in 1959,
mm-hmm.
It is the year of the birth of one Donna Murphy.
Oh, I love that.
She was Fosca in Passion.
Mm-hmm.
And she played Anna in The King of I. King and I.
She was also one of the best things I've seen in a long time.
Oh, Dolly?
Had a hoopa hoopa in Anyone Can Whistle at Encores.
Did you didn't see her Hello Dolly?
I did not.
No. Everybody said really great. Mm-hmm. She was born in 1959. Where was Donna Murphy born?
Jersey.
Jersey. Anybody else? Which exit?
193.
She's born in Queens.
Oh.
So it's interesting because we're going to talk about this later. I chose the song going out of this because I was going to be talking about White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. So I did a book report on Peter Rabbit from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And it happens to be the anniversary of the off-Broadway opening of You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
I loved that production. That was such a good production.
In 1967?
Nope. I was talking about the revival.
The 2006. Well, now here's an interesting thing. There was another revival, and this is why I wish Miss Nicole Shiro was here. In 2016, did you hear about this one?
No.
Well, it didn't get very good notices, but it was a revival done with children of the same age as Charlie Brown's, because typically it's played by adults.
Uh-huh.
And they say it didn't really work really well.
Because it's not it's much funny more, it's that not, way.
Right. But they said bad thing, the critic, who is Neil Genslinger in the New York Times, said that everybody was pretty bad, and I hope Nicole was listening, with the exception of Millie Shapiro, who was spot on and Delight as Sally.
And I know she would go crazy over.
She loves her Millie Shapiro.
I know she does. If you're a critic and your name is Genslinger, I'm just got to say, cuidado, cuidado.
See, let's see. 1983, John Byrne's show called Slab Boys. Do you know that one?
I don't.
Anybody? Slab Boys?
No.
It's about workers who are responsible for kneading ground pigments into smooth paint for designers. It plays these particular stars. Sean Penn,
wow.
Kevin Bacon, and Val Kilmer.
That's a lot of handsome on
in
one
1983.
Stage.
And I have to say, in 1983, mm-hmm. I was working for
some guy.
What do you call this when you call something a service? A high end telephone service and
like an answering service.
Kevin Bacon, yeah, answering service. Kevin Bacon was one of our clients, and Kevin Bacon was having fights with somebody else, and we would navigate the fights of these two people who were both clients. It was very interesting.
Wow. I love that.
2003, this was the musician strike, Local 802, shutting down all the Broadway musicals.
I remember it.
Were you working on Broadway at that time?
I was in college, but I was doing development.
College in 2003.
Sorry about it.
Okay.
I remember it very well.
This was also the austere anniversary of the day that they found Spalding Gray's body in the East River.
Mm-hmm.
Spalding Gray, for those who know, he's really well known for doing one-man shows, such as Gray's Anatomy, Swimming to Cambodia, Slippery Slope, etc. also, this one would have been a good one for Nicole Shiro, but it's good for all of us here because it's Austin bound. Anne, with Holland Taylor playing Anne Richards, opened at Lincoln Center in 2013.
Mm.
Stage managed by Mr. Bob
Talaro. Press by Mr. Michael Hartman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did not know that part.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It all is good. She earned a Tony nom, and I wish she had won.
I know. She was a
remarkable. It's a great show. Birthdays of Lewis Stadlin.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody named Bryan Cranston.
Never heard of him.
Speaking of historic Broadway shows. Vicki Lewis in 1916. I should say, Vicki Lewis is coming back to Broadway very soon. Do you know Vicki?
I don't.
She, people will know her. She was in a television series, and I forgot which one it was. But I did a show with her. At Studio 54, when it was still Studio 54,
mm-hmm.
With her and, there was a Glenn somebody who was a young child star called Street Heat with Michael DiLorenzo. Do you know Michael?
I do.
Okay, Michael DiLorenzo was in it. A lot of people, and we converted Studio 54 into a Broadway house. And it was very interesting. We would come in for rehearsals, for a 10 a.m. rehearsal. Mm-hmm. We'd get there around, as a stage manager, I'd get there around 8:30, 9 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning, and people were still in the club.
Wow. You know, I've heard stories of that. I made my Broadway debut at Studio 54, and they would tell stories about that time that you're talking about.
It's amazing. So we had this set. It was a full-blown set and a stage and seating that we would, the show would come down around 10 p.m., and we would have to strike and be out of there by 10:30 so they could open the club.
That's hysterical.
It was pretty amazing. But Vicki Lewis was in that. And Street Heat, look it up.
Ooh, that makes me happy.
Look it up. I have to go back and look that up and see who the creative team was. All right, I think we're going to take a little break. And we're going to come back and wrap up. So as I said, I was going to play a little bit of Charlie Brown. This was really in, I was doing it because I wanted to do things about rabbits, but it's really the anniversary of Charlie Brown. So let's listen.
Peter Rabbit is the stupid book about the stupid rabbit who steals vegetables from other people's gardens.
Rabbit.
I found it.
I knew it was about a rabbit. Wait, say that again, because I didn't have your microphone.
I love that song.
I do, too. It is so much fun. And I believe it's Schroeder who goes into this whole... he really narrowed it down about... I think it was Schroeder.
I think you're right.
That he had all sorts of analysis about Peter Rabbit. Not to mention Flopsy, Dopsy, and...
Cottontail. You know, every time Bob Talaro and I, speaking of Bob Talaro, are working on a show where there's lots of technical needs, we both turn to each other and go... We should have done Charlie Brown because there's so few technical needs.
No, you just have a little cardboard school bus that rolls around. Has anybody other than me done Charlie Brown? You must have.
I haven't, but my father played Charlie Brown, and believe me, I heard about it and heard him sing the tunes of it and saw photos of it in his little baseball hat when that was part of a very pivotal part of hearing my father tell stories of You're a Good
my
Man.
My daughter was in it.
Oh,
my daughter.
Did she play Lucy?
She was the little redheaded girl.
Ah,
she was the only sixth grader cast, and it was quite the.
Probably, ooh, yeah. I would think Sally would be the funnest part to play in that show. Oh, Sally is a great part. So I saw a high school production of it last year that did not. Do what everybody else does is make it cartoony. It was more realistic, the set and everything. And they didn't have the cartoon costumes.
The peanuts.
And I loved that take on it. I've never seen another take on it.
It's got a lot of heart.
It does. You gotta have heart. Lots and lots and lots of heart.
We should go on the road.
What? We should just go. But I would like to thank everybody for this wonderful show. We had a great time, Nick. We had as good a time as we could without Nicole.
Yes, we did. And it was a pleasure.
Thanks again for those of you that joined in to our membership drive. And remember, you can tweet us on Twitter.
Stitcher.
Stitch us on Stitcher.
Face us on
you can
Facebook.
Get us on iTunes. Face us on Facebook. We're going to be going off to Backstage. So if you're listening to the podcast, stick around for Backstage. If you're on terrestrial radio, it's going to be Austin Monitor News. And I'm going to go away with another thing that hopefully we'll have time to play. Actually, the whole thing, because it's very, very short. By Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones. And it is from I Do. And it is called Good Night. And it's just, it's very sweet. Do you know the show
I Do.
But see, here, I always wrongly would hear the song I Do, I Do in the Sky and think it's from I Do, I Do.
It's not.
It's not.
It's from Drowsy Chaperone.
It's from Drowsy Chaperone. Somebody, a friend of mine, directed that just recently.
What a hack.
But anyway, stick around for Backstage. We'll play this whole song. Or actually, it's from where I cut into it. But to the end. Here we go.
Good night.
Good night.
I hope you sleep all right.
I hope so too.
Well, the show has just come down on It's Quiet Outside, the musical. It's a musical comedy with absolutely no dialogue and no music and lasts for 2 hours. Didn't do well. So we have finished the show. We've stepped outside the backstage door. We're sitting here by the dumpsters. our feet are sitting in puddles of unnamed liquid. And we have a small group here today. We have Darren Scharf and Robin Conran. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us backstage.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Okay, that's it for the show. So here we try to learn a little bit more about you guys, the people, versus you guys that are hawking a show. So Darren, where do you come from?
San Antonio, born and raised.
Texas or the other one?
It's the Texas. I don't know. What's? Oh,
there
no,
is no other one.
I think there is. I think there's a few around
South
America.
Oh, I'm sure there are, but... Oh, in South America. In Sudamerica, we like to call it. Yeah. So you born and bred in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And did you... Were you doing theater in San Antonio?
Not at all. I did one play in third grade where I was a Western outlaw. And
you were a Western outlaw?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was a gunslinger. No, I was a shy, introverted nerd. I majored in computer science.
An SIN, we call those.
There you go.
Or a SIN.
SIN.
You majored in what?
Computer science.
Okay.
And
is that why you're in Austin? Do you do computer-y stuff for a living?
No, I worked. I worked for a little bit in San Antonio out of college in computer stuff, and got really bored with it. It was very office space kind of work, you know, and. Moved to Austin to make movies with my friends.
Oh, okay.
And so I got really involved in movie making, filmmaking, video production.
As an actor, as a producer, as everything?
Not as an actor, everything else.
Uh-huh.
You know, shooting, editing, directing, producing. And I still do a lot of that, but I met a lot of actors because of that. And that's how I ended up falling into theater by accident.
So other than third grade, so you've never done any kind of until relatively recently.
Well, it's now been probably about 8 years or so.
Okay.
My former roommate, who was an actor in a movie I made, had a company member drop out like 3 weeks before a show and asked me if I knew any actors, and I said that sounds fun, I'll do it. And
what was the show?
It was it actually played at City Theater next door, and it was 3 one-act plays. There was a Shel Silverstein bit. There was an original piece a friend of mine wrote set in a coffee shop, and there was a really funny 2-person Tower of Babel skit. And I played a very small part in that as a eunuch holding a holy potato and speaking in a funny voice wearing a purple diaper.
There you go.
And
it all started with the potato.
I got hooked.
It all started with the potato.
Yeah.
What was your first show, Robin? Ages ago, right?
Yes. In middle school.
Which was where?
Jewett, Texas.
Jewett, Texas.
If you get on Highway 79 and you just keep on going.
Which direction?
East. Right into it.
So you're East Texas.
Small town. Teeny tiny.
Are you near
town.
Tyler and all that stuff?
Probably about an hour and a half from Tyler.
Okay.
Yeah. So
awesome.
So yeah, I started doing theater in middle school, high school. Then I went to Stephen F. Austin State University and got my degree in
Nacogdoches.
Yes.
That's a pretty little town.
It is pretty. Yeah. It is. It's behind the pine curtain,
as we like to say. It's behind. Say that again.
Behind the pine.
Oh,
curtain.
You did say behind. I thought you said behind the pine curtain.
Yeah. And majored in acting, got my teaching certificate in my 24th year of teaching. And
So we were talking before the show. You are teaching theater to middle schoolers.
I'm attempting to. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. I mean, we talk a lot on the show how important arts education is and how it's under fire. Oftentimes and specifically now. But when I was growing up, middle school, theater wasn't part of middle school.
Right.
That didn't happen until high school.
And yeah, I'm very fortunate. I mean, our facilities are not that great, but our staff is, you know, our administrators very supportive. I started a musical theater program there and it's
Do you have a musical theater background?
I have a singing background, but I never really trained per se.
What kind of singing?
I had a band for a while.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Sang at church and sang in a band and just that kind of
stuff. It's so funny. This is so the different mentality. I'm pretty musically ignorant. And as soon as you said singing, I was assuming you were doing classical singing.
Oh, heavens no.
I heard Latin in my head.
No.
I sing
over drunk people.
Were you a singer-songwriter kind of person?
Yes.
Did you write your own stuff?
Yes, I did.
Awesome.
And so when we moved to Austin, I taught and did that for a while, and then I got my kids out of the way.
Yeah.
Got them gone, and I started acting again. So I've really just been
and
back
directing.
In, yes, yes, mm-hmm. I did. I've just been back in the kind of the theater, doing theater for myself since like 2013. It's been a new thing, but. Love
and
it.
So how talk about how you feel about going from this world of theater with little urchins, stepping out of that and stepping into the world of theater with urchins that are adults.
There's no, no, I'm teasing. No, I'll tell you, it's I think I've my kids, particularly my advanced students, they enjoy it. Like I've had quite a few have come and seen the show. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for them to see that theater is a lifelong thing, that just because, you know, that I can teach during the day and then I can go right. and do what I love at night. And I think that's good for them to see you keep your passion up. And it's given me a new perspective, because it had been a long time since I'd been on the stage and having to learn lines.
Scary when you step back on it,
yeah,
after being away from it for a while.
My tolerance for people forgetting lines out of my students was much greater.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
After I was like, yeah, I remember. This is really hard.
So typically we don't talk about the shows that we just talked about here at Backstage, but I do want to just backtrack and talk about Noises Off for just a second, because we couldn't really say that this weekend, this final weekend, is sold out. Does is there any reason why somebody should come to the theater and try to get on a standby list? Has that been happening?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So they can still go to see the show. Or hope to see the show
right.
and get on a standby list.
Right.
It's definitely, yeah, your odds are very good, I
cool.
would say.
Mm-hmm. CityTheaterAustin.org. Darren, are you a musician as well? Seems like everybody in this town is.
It seems like it. I mean, not really. I play bad guitar for fun, and I was in my first musical last year. I've never sung for people.
Right, you were in the Austin Theater Project production of The
Bear.
Bear, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
oh, my
that was a lot of fun.
Wanted to... see that show so bad.
I've got it on YouTube.
There you go.
Tell
it's
her.
On YouTube. And do you have kids?
I do not.
You do not?
No, two dogs.
Two dogs named?
Nero and Willow.
Nero and Willow. I would have said Nero and Faro, but that's just me. My parents, when I was little, we had bourbon and soda.
Nice.
And then we lost bourbon and we got scotch and soda. So you are you newly an empty nester?
My Robin? Daughter is I'm going to brag on her. She's a sophomore at Webster Theater Conservatory in St. Louis.
In St. Louis.
And that was my last one. My son is off the payroll. He is employed here in Austin.
Excellent. Yes. Uh-huh. Good.
So,
he into theatrics?
He does editing for commercials and things like that. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
So what is your daughter? She's at Webster in the conservatory there. Is it a musical conservatory?
Yes, she's in the musical theater conservatory.
Awesome.
There.
Is she enjoying it?
She's loving it.
Has she gotten some leads yet?
She is in a lead. April 6th, I'll be flying to St. Louis. She's the lead in Fly By Night.
Okay.
So
I am not familiar with that show. What is it?
It takes place in 1965 in New York during the blackout.
Okay.
And the power outage. And
the original blackout.
Yeah. And she plays one of two sisters that have come to New York to make their fortune, you know, and to
Lovely.
Find themselves. So.
Oh, that's cool. And you're going to fly up to see it.
Yes. Very excited.
So, Darren, well, both of you, I'd like to ask people when we're sitting here backstage amongst the dumpsters, if what is your passion outside of the theatrical arts? And I'm going to go a little further this time and say outside of arts in general. Do you have a passion that you like to do?
Outside of the arts in general?
Yeah.
I mean...
I love football. I'm a huge football nerd.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Massively. My dad's a football coach, and I follow college football and high school football.
So are you one of these UT people that I'm that I get angry with at every game?
I love going to UT games. I just love watching the sport.
Okay.
I just enjoy. I wanted to play it when I was in middle school, but
probably
I wasn't allowed.
Probably not an option, yeah.
And but, I mean, I because I grew up with a dad that I know a lot about it, and a lot of people don't.
Okay, here's a question
Don't
completely off topic. And Nicole would love to be here, because I just came up with this question the other day. And I'm surprised it took me this long to ask this question. Completely off the subject. If you want to hear theater stuff, just fast forward a little bit. All right, you have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Then I figured out you have a halfback and you have a fullback. Mm-hmm. What are they quarter, half, and full of?
I don't know why they're called that way, but I know what they do.
I just dawned on me because I said, "What? Where did the term quarterback come from?" And then I realized, oh, there's a fullback.
Yeah, there's a fullback.
Oh, and then there's a halfback. Uh-huh. So I think, you don't know. Do you know?
I don't. I'm and why no eighth back or double back?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So I think it's a stupid game because of that. Darren, what about you?
The quarterback would be the fullback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think.
Well, and it's different because there's a difference between a fullback and a running back as well.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but there's no percentage.
All the backs are for the backfield. And so they're all like, I'm sorry. They all line up in the backfield behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, there you go. I actually figured that out the other day all by myself. So that's pretty good. Darren, what are your passions outside of the arts?
I mean, well, I don't know. Outside the arts, I mean, I was going to think of. I mean, I like movie making and, you know, storytelling. And
so what kind of movie making do you do? Is it narrative? Is it documentary?
I've worked on some documentary. I've worked on all kinds. But, yeah, I like narrative, making short films. Did a feature a bunch of years ago. Have a few stories in development. Spent the last couple of years working on a slew of music videos.
Cool.
I did a tour documentary for Dr. Dog, the band. Went up and down the West Coast with them on tour. And I don't know. I just like watching, telling, and listening to stories.
Awesome. Well, okay, so we're just about out of time, but Robin, let me ask you this. What's your daughter's name?
Molly.
Molly. So she is, has she started rehearsal?
Oh, yes.
Did she have a solo?
Oh, yes.
Can you name what that solo is or any of the music that she's...
No, she sent it to me, but I don't remember.
Do you know what her character name is?
Oh, good Lord. You're putting me on the spot. I can't...
Okay, well...
Easier question. Are you going to get the band back together?
No, probably not. Probably not going to get the band back together.
Can get the band back together. So I'm not 100% sure what the song is, but it's playing right now. Can you hear it?
Each day at 9, she'd stand in line.
I think that's the song that she sings. I do. It's great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in to be backstage and navigating back here with
you. You are welcome.
And best of luck with everything.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.